much your prayers. I appreciate y'all's prayers praying for me being sick. And we appreciate Brother Donald and Brother Josh taking care of last Sunday. I made a mistake. I was texting Josh and texting the wrong phone number. And I couldn't figure out why he wasn't responding. Somebody, when I found out I was texting the wrong number, then that was my fault. But I'm glad the Lord, you can't, if you got his number, you can never miss dialing in. He's good. And but we had preached on something the Sunday before, and God wouldn't let us get away from the rest of it. We didn't get to preach the rest of it. And we thought we'd preach it Wednesday night, but God gave it to us. He kept us up late last night. And so I covet your prayers. Not only would he have me up late, but I lost that hour of sleep. Don't like daylight savings time. Somebody say amen. You got 2 Kings chapter number 4. Say amen. If you like to stand, you don't have to. You can reverence God's word without standing. But I know we like to stand and reverence it as it was in the days of and old when they came back to rebuild the gates and the temple. 2 Kings chapter number 4, we're going to start reading at verse number 38. And this is what it says. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field and got to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out of for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, we come to you one more time this day. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for this Bible that you've given. But Lord, Father, these words are just words, Lord, unless your spirit preaches them. Lord, I'm just a man, Lord Father, just to stand up here, Lord. But if you'll come by and you'll preach, Lord Father, through me, then I can be your man. I can be the preacher, Lord. It takes your spirit, your power, and your anointing, Lord Father, to speak through a man and to speak to the heart of individuals. Lord, I can't direct the message. I can't touch the hearts with my words. But Lord, your spirit can. And Lord, I pray, Lord Father, this morning for the utmost sincerity of my speech, the most plainness of my speech, and the most grace of my speech, seasoned with salt, as your scripture would say. And that, Father, that we may have an effect or be a help to someone today. And Father, not only that we would be a help, but Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive the help and to respond to the help. Father, in today's day, I know the scripture says that there's a great falling away, and that many shall depart from the faith, or some shall depart from the faith. And Lord, I know the love of many is waxing cold, but Lord, it doesn't change the fact we're still to sound the trumpet and preach today. Lord, may we all pitch in together and help one another this day and help the preacher. And Father, and help those that are lost and those that are needing help. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Want to preach on what is in your pot. What is in your pot? The last time we was able to be here, we preached on the water pot of the woman at the well. Preached upon how she left her water pot. That water pot was a representation of the guilt and the shame of her past sins and present situation of life. How that other people may have held things against her, but she herself had carried that guilt and shame way too long. And so glad that the Savior came by her way to help her out what was in her pot. And as I thought about these scriptures, and we've preached upon these lines before, and may I say this today, that as the woman that went to the well in John chapter number 4, we all have a situation, or we all have circumstances, or we all, if you'll have it, we have a pot that we bear in our life. Sometimes it takes leaving that pot with the Lord, as the woman at the well did. And sometimes it takes realizing just that we have a pot, and what's on the inside of it makes the difference on how we live. And it makes the difference on how we get through life. I've often thought about this, as I mentioned, when it comes to folks who make a difference in folks that when got saved at a young age and an older age. And I have talked to many of people who got saved at young ages or older age like I did. And there's a common thread throughout the whole thing, and that is that Jesus Christ saved us from our sin. I know some people look at the people who've been in the dredges, in the ditches, in the gutters of society, and God has pulled them out. And people say, he had to reach way down when he saved me. And I have to say amen to that. But can I say also, if he saved you at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, no matter the age was, he still had to reach down and save us all from the gutter and from sin. Too many times people look upon the circumstances of how the world looks at it, and they want to look upon it the way that their eyes see it. But no one ever wants to look upon the things that's on the inside of their own self. I said something here the last, I do believe it was Wednesday, when God allowed me to see an image of myself through his eyes. Brother Paul Davis, that's when fear and conviction got a hold of me. I looked and saw my life. I couldn't measure up. I didn't have what it took. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the job. I mean, some of you know my story. I was, until I met my wife, I was homeless. Everything I had was in a 78 Camaro. Didn't have much. And I was not the golden boy of society. But can I say, it doesn't matter how your life was. What matter is what the Savior wants to do in your life, in that today. I know there's people out there says, preacher, I can't forgive myself, and I don't think God can forgive me either. That's why I'm glad you're not God and I ain't either. Because he can forgive, he can save unto the uttermost. I was thinking about that. I'll get to the message. I want to give something God had me thinking upon. It says he's able and capable to save us unto the uttermost. I went and looked up what uttermost meant, Brother Don, and it means it to the highest degree. Woo! That means it don't matter what man tries to lash upon you. It don't matter what man tries to handcuff you down to. God saves you to the uttermost. That means you're at the top of the heap. Hey, some folks said, preacher, would you like to be the president of the United States? No, I can't afford to take a demotion. I'm getting paid a whole lot better than he is. Preacher, would you like to be a king of the country? No, because I got it better than the kings of the country in this world does. Because we have been saved unto the uttermost. And he says today that he'll save you from, as my pastor used to say, he'll save you from the guttermost unto the uttermost. And that's what our God will do. I want to ask you today just exactly what is in your pot. What is in your heart? What is in your life? What is it that you carry that represents your life? As we said, the woman in John chapter 4, her water pot represented the guilt and the shame. And that how that it always showed what the life that she lived, the mistakes that she had. And that how everybody else, Christian, Joanne, we know this, how everybody else will always bring up your pot. They'll always bring up your sins. They'll always bring up what's in your pot. But they never want to look at their own. That woman probably was ridiculed and finger pointed at and bad mouthed from here to the cows came home. She separated herself. She changed her daily routine so she would have to hear the naysayers nor the comments that was being made. Y'all hear this preacher this morning? And she had a situation of that pot. But can I say, Jesus helped her in that pot. I'm not going to re-preach the message, but I'm going to get to another pot in the book, in the Bible, talks about it in Exodus chapter number 16 and verse number 33. Not only as the woman in the well, her pot showed that it was filled with guilt and shame of her life, but can I say also that in Exodus chapter 16, it showed the proof of the power and the provision and the providence of God. In Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 33, I believe it says that Moses spoke unto Aaron and said, take an omer full of the manna and put it in a pot. Hebrews chapter number 9 says in verse number 4 that this pot was a golden pot. And it was put within the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony that was overlaid with gold and had the Aaron's rod in it and had the testimony in that of the Lord.
Brother Larry, that pot was a representation of God's provision that he had for the people. That golden pot was a representation of the providence that God had over his people. And that golden pot was the proof of how God would provide, how God in his power and in wisdom, when people said there's no way, God always made the way. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but the children of Israel were in bondage under the Egyptians. And they were taken out from the bondage of the Egyptians. They were delivered. They were set free. They were let go, if you'll have it. And as they're traveling through the wilderness, they said they was hungry. We're in a place where there is no food. There's no McDonald's. There's no Burger King. There's no Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's no Chick-fil-A. There's no none of those fancy things where we can eat. We can't stop off at the drive-thru. We can't call up Domino's or Chubby's Pizza. We can't call up. I'm not giving shameless plugs. Don't know what I think that I am. What I'm saying is that in this life, as they walk in this deserted wilderness that they was in, they could not just turn around to the left hand or to the right. They could not rely upon their own strength. They couldn't rely upon their own sense. They couldn't rely upon their own thinking. They couldn't rely upon their own experiences. They had to solely rely upon God. And can I say this morning? When individuals and when saved people and when churches realize it doesn't go by our own mentality, it doesn't go by our own experiences, it doesn't go by our own thinking, it doesn't go by all the things that are on the left hand, on the right, but when we realize we got to solely rely upon God, we'll find out that He has the proof and all a foolproof plan on how He can provide and have the providence over our lives. Can I say amen? This man wasn't to be shown that God had delivered and God had provided in the wilderness. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Preacher, I'm in a dark place," or "Preacher, I'm in a dry place and I don't know if I can get through it." Well, all you have to do is look at that golden pot that God had in that Ark of the Covenant. Oh, the children of Israel didn't have to do much. It said every morning when the dew had hit the ground, that dew, there was manna upon the dew, and they had to go out and get themselves that manna for the day. I want you to know something. They didn't pick up food off the ground. They weren't scavenging for the dog because the dew separated the manna from the ground. Woo! I'm telling you, God don't have you eating like no bum. God says you're a king's kid. You're a priest's kid. And He's going to give you exactly what you need to get through life. Oh, them children of Israel, they didn't look at the things that they was going through. But God said, "I'll always give you food in the morning to last you throughout the day. And on the seventh day, I don't want you doing nothing, but I'll give you a double portion on Friday. That way it'll last it out through Sunday. It won't bring no worms. It won't rot. It'll still be good." Is anybody hearing this preacher this morning? I'm telling you, sometimes we forget that we've got some proof in our pot. If we've been saved, that God has provided for us. Hopefully you can say amen. Say, "God has been there." Is anybody hearing this preacher? Can anybody say, "Yes, God has been there in my life. He's provided what I couldn't provide for myself. He's been there in the dark times. He's been there in the wildernesses. He's always so proof. He's done it once before, and all I got to do is look on the inside of that golden pot and He put it inside that ark and realize that if He's done it for the children of Israel, He'll do it for me. If He's done it for Elijah, He'll do it for me. If He's done it for John the Baptist, He'll do it for me. If He's done it for those pilgrims in this country, He'll do it for me. If He did it for the old timers, He'll do it for me. And know that He will." It's in that pot. It's in the pot. It's there. Stephen, nobody could take it out. They put it in that ark. And if any man touched that ark, God killed him. I'm telling you, there's been people trying to prove my God wrong time after time and day after day. And Joanne, they can put it on TV. They can put it on C-SPAN. They can put it on Fox News, CNN News, and MSNBC. But they didn't come too late to tell me I've got proof in the pot of God. Well, bless His name. I've done been there and I've realized that God has provided. Amen. Can I say this about that man? The Bible said it didn't matter if he was of Israel. It didn't matter if he had broke the law. He said He still provided man every morning. Ain't that good? I mean, some of you are sitting here today. And why God has not killed you for the sins that you've done, all I have to say is, aren't you glad God still provides you? Hey. Some people say, "I don't know how I made it this far." I know how you made it this far. It's because God's provision, because God's power, it's because God's providing you in His providence for you to get you to a place to realize that God is for you. He's not against you. So many times we fail to look in the pot, how that pot was there that God provided. Can I remind everybody, in the beginning of this chapter, we find another pot. In the first part of this chapter, we find a widow woman. Her husband's passed. He's owed a lot of debt. And the creditors have come to take the sons and everything she owes. And she cried out to the man of God. She said, "Oh, man of God, they've come to take everything I have and enslave my two boys. Oh, I'm left here destitute. I'm left here broken. I'm left here and I ain't got nothing to show for it." And I like what the man of God did. The man of God went to her and said, "Woman, let me ask you a question." And she said, "Yeah." He says, "What do you have in the house?" Can I say this sometimes? Now, don't you all get mad at me. I'm just preaching what God's given me. Sometimes we let the circumstances outweigh what already lies within the house. Sometimes we look at the giant and see how big he is and don't realize just how big of a giant killer our God is. So many times we forget that we slayed the bear and the lion like David did. And don't really can't remember that God had, when David had killed the bear and the lion, and then he killed Goliath, and then he ran from King Saul because he feared for his life. He had forgotten that he had been anointed king. He had forgotten all the things that God had done in his life to show him that he would always be there. And this woman had forgotten that she had something in the house that God could use. Oftentimes, Sarah will look back and say, "Well, I can't do this and I can't do that. It's all for nothing. It's all going to great big loss." And God has to remind us and say, "What do you have in the house?" Well, she said, the Bible says, she told him, she said, "I have nothing in the house save a pot of oil." Can I say this? That's all you need in your house is a pot of oil. Somebody say amen right there. I'd like to go on a great big giant depth dump in and swim around and what that oil stands for. But can I tell you this today, this morning? That oil is a representation of what God had given you and rests inside your life. I've often heard people say, "Preacher, do you Baptist people believe in getting the Holy Ghost?" I say, "Absolutely, I believe in it." They said, "We didn't know Baptist people believe in the Holy Ghost." I said, "Oh, how else can you get the Holy Ghost unless you've been baptized?" Amen. I'm about to take myself a fit. And this woman, she said, "All I have is a pot of oil." And the man of God said, "Well, that's all you need is that which you have in the house." A lot of times we'll go looking for God to do something when God says you've already got a line with inside you. Can I give you all a piece of scripture? I know some of you like writing notes, but would you write down Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20? If you like to write that down, Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 20, if you like to go there with your Bible and take a pen or a highlighter and highlight it, or maybe put it on a scratch piece of paper. But sometimes I think we as children of God, we forget exactly just who we are and what already sits inside our house. A lot of times we think we're so feeble, and a lot of times we think that we're so weak, when really we don't realize that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We don't realize we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I know sometimes we feel weak. Sometimes we feel defeated. But pick up your head, child of God. Lift it up your face. The Bible said when these things come against you, look up for your redemption, child of God. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That means it's already there, Sister Tina. It's that wheel inside a wheel that Ezekiel talked about. Oh God, I feel pretty good this morning. That wheel started moving inside that wheel. That spirit begins to turn and to turn and to burn. I'm telling you, there's a power that already lives and works inside of us. And it will do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask. A lot of times we don't realize it. When the hard times come, we have what it takes on the inside. We have the power. It's not just a song. It's not just an anthem. It's a true story. We have the power in the name of Jesus. I've watched these people. I've often scratched my head. They think they got the power to do this, they got the power to do that. We don't have the power within ourselves. It's the power that God placed in us when He saved us. There's no weapon formed against us, Brother James Powell, that can have power over us. We cannot be defeated. Jesus said, don't fear man who can kill the body and not the soul, but fear God who can kill both body and soul and cast them both into hell. Oh, yes. Oftentimes, I know some people say, well, preacher, you're skating on thin ice. That's that borderline charismatic movement. Yeah. I tell you what, if a lot of folks read their Bible more and studied and prayed more, they'd see just how phony the charismatic movement was. They took things out of context and made it apply to something else. But I'm telling you this, according to that scripture, we have a power, Brother Jeff, that works inside of us. God placed it there. If God didn't place it there and it didn't work inside of us, then God really didn't save our soul and give us an indwelling spirit. Somebody say amen right there. If the Bible says that the Father and the Son took up His abode inside us, and nothing is more powerful than God and the Son, I'm telling you, we have already taken it lies within us. But so many times the prayer that God, or the weapon that God has given us, is the weapon of prayer. And we neglect to drop down upon our knees and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible says He'll exalt you in due season. Get to your prayer closet and ask God in secret, and He'll reward you openly. I'm telling you, you do it in secret, and God will preach it from the housetops. I'm telling you, is anybody hearing this preacher this morning? Mount Zion Baptist Church, child of God, the power is already working. In the pot. Now, Brother Jerry claims if you want it to work, you got to do what that lady did. Do y'all want to know what that lady did to get that power to work? The first thing she did, Sister Judy, is she shut the door. I could preach all day long on shutting the door. Many times, Brother James Powell, God's laid upon my heart to say from that pulpit, let us shut the door on the things of the outside world and do not let them get inside this time of worship and fellowship, that it may interfere and draw our attention away from what God wants to say or to speak unto us. That woman had to shut the door. She had to take her two boys in the house, into the room where the pot of oil was, and she had to shut the door. Oh, so many times people say, well, preacher, I want to shut the door and get alone with God. But you always allow a little bit of this and a little bit of that on the inside. You allow a little bit of the world or a little bit of somebody else's thinking on the inside. Or you'll take a little bit of yourself and say, I'm going to try to bargain with God. No, 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 no. If you want God to take care and that power to flow from on inside, you're going to have to separate yourself from the things of this world. Separate yourself from the things of sin. And do what she did. Shut the door and pour out unto God. She poured her out. I feel like preaching for about another 50 minutes, but I'm about done. She had a pour out, Sister Becky. She didn't hold back. She opened her up and poured it all out. David says once the water had left the ladle, Brother Josh, that water can't get back in the ladle. A lot of times we keep a little bit back in the... We'll keep just a little bit back because we're afraid to let go, Tammy. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Can I share some things with you? There's a lot of times people said, preacher, now you're a Baptist minister. You're a Baptist pastor now. You got to fall in line. You got to follow with all what the other brethren said for years and years and years. You got to do that old Kentucky, that old Tennessee, that old West Virginia thing. And I sit there and I said, God, 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 I want to be your man. I don't want to be their man. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't think you will. But Geneva, when God said, Jason, I want you to go to Mount Zion, I said, God, I want to be the pastor that Tom and Geneva needs, not the pastor Tom and Geneva wants. I think you guys understand that. Shirley Bird, I want to be the man of God that God wanted me to be in South Lebanon, not the man of God that my old pastor wanted me to be. I didn't want to be the man of God that my first pastor wanted me to be. I'd get the phone calls and say, preacher, you still toeing the line. Preacher, you ain't left the doctrine. Preacher, we heard you've left the faith. I ain't left nothing.
Hey.
But there is some things, Brother James Powell, that God told me that I was going to have to do if I was going to get, have that power work and then provisions provided for me. He said, Jason, you'd rather close the door on everything out there and pour it out unto me.
Amen.
So many times people say, well, I follow the Lord, but what Pastor Folger says is we ought to do this. Well, the Bible says you're just to show yourself approved.
Right.
not me approved.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yep.
So many times, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm trying to let you, child of God, lift up your head. That which you seek, and that which abundant and exceeding abundant life that you need already rests in the pot in your life. If you was to shut the door on the world and pour it all out, you know what would happen? You have to call up somebody and say, go get me some pots. It's about to run over.
Yeah,
and the Bible said she sent her sons out to the neighbors and said, we need a pot, we need a pot, we need a pot, we need a pot. What do you need a pot for? Don't know. Mama said, come get a pot. The people said, well, here's a pot, here's a pot. And the Bible said she poured and 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 she poured. And when she had no more pots, the oil stayed. The oil didn't run out. It stayed. She was able to pay off the creditors and live off the rest. And so many times we forget, and so many times we don't realize what we truly, really need to do is to close the door and pour out it unto God. Y'all with the preacher?
Yes, sir.
Can we get back to the scripture now that I read from? Y'all all right? Y'all with me still? Getting to sleep, are you? There's death at the pot. There was death in this pot that we read at the end of 2 Kings chapter number 4. They was hungry. They was looking for something. And so one of them says, I'll go find us something to eat. And said he found, I do believe it's verse number 39, Brother Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong. He went out and found a wild vine. And it had wild gourds on it. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm kind of mesmerized at gourds and plants that are kind of colorful and everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people's drawn to the brightness and the things. I'm one of them people who like watching them folks that get dropped off out in the middle of nowhere and says, I'm going to survive a month or two off the land. Watching them eat, you know, pine needles and things like that, going, man, you all's crazy. But then people knew what they needed to eat.
Yeah.
They knew. Well, these fellas, this one guy, he goes out there and thinks, I know exactly what to fix us to eat. And the Bible says he found a wild vine with wild gourds, and he took them back because the Bible says he knew not what he got. He didn't know it. Can I say something right now and stop just for a second? You save people, would you look at your pastor just for a second? I ain't trying to be mean. But a lot of times people's like, I want something new. I want something fresh. I want something that's just a little bit more than what I've been getting lately because I'm getting kind of tired of this manna that God keeps giving. And what happens is a lot of folks will go out there and they'll get that remote control and they'll find somebody on TV. And they don't know who they are. They don't know their background. They don't know where they live. They don't know what's behind that set that they're sitting on. And that man or that woman will start telling them things and teach them things. And they start writing them down and highlighting them in their Bible. Next thing you know, they start reading those things. Next thing you know, before they know it, it's done put death in their pot.
Yeah.
Because they knew it not. Can I say sometimes there's nothing wrong with soup, beans, and fried taters and cornbread.
Right there.
There's nothing wrong with it. Don't get me wrong, when I was a kid, I'd get so upset and say, God, I'm tired of soup, beans, and cornbread. My mama worked a full-time job, went back to school at Xavier University to get her master's, and my daddy made us cook supper, get everything prepared until he got home. Chopping coleslaw was my job. My one sister was cutting and peeling potatoes and boiling them. And the other sister was the one to make sure the dishes were done and get everything ready and get the biscuits or the cornbread ready to be made. And we had soup, beans, fried taters, cornbread, and bacon. I couldn't tell you how long that we had it. Lord of mercy, if I looked at another bean or a tater, I was about to vomit. How many people had that original Tupperware, that little butter bowl with a couple ice cubes and the green onions and the radishes in there?
Yeah. Yep.
I got hands raised. Yeah. But you look back now, Sister Shirley, and now everything's in a box. No one takes time no more. I'm just giving you an example so you will understand that I'm not just trying to get a smile or a smirk or provoke you into something psychologically. I'm being truthful. They're talking about now how so many people are unhealthy. So many people has got diseases. So many people are overweight. Thank you, Eddie. Jerry, thank you. You didn't need to amen that on me, but that's all right. And they've won it all back to this. They said it's the food that we eat now. They thought they would improve it. They thought they would do something better. They thought they could make it better than what God had already designed it to do. And it's backfired on folk. It's backfired on people. Some people can make it through, but some people's not, and a lot's not. Can I say this spiritually? There's a lot of people that can get on and turn on the radio and hear somebody say something on the radio, and they can tell that it's not of the Lord. They can tell it's a wild gourd. They can tell it's a wild vine. But a lot of folk who are green behind the ears, or a lot of folk who don't spend time in prayer and reading, don't know that it's a wild vine. Don't know it's a wild gourd. They cut it up and put it in the pot, and they've been eating on it, and it's slowly killing them spiritually. And can I say this? Today, there's more and more people today that says they're going to heaven. There's more and more people today that says that they are all right in the eyes of God. And they live, there's people in the church that say this, and they live worse than some of the people out there in the world. But the Bible says it don't matter. You don't stand before this boy and get judgment. You don't stand before this church in judgment. You stand before Almighty God. Who says you've had choice? You've had opportunity. I've sent things your way. And you still put death in your pot. Some of you here today, you've come to this church time and time again, and I see God move upon your life, and you don't do nothing to better your life. Some people has even, I've had some people come up and say, "Preacher, don't you think this is biblically true and biblically right?" I go, "Did you find it in the Bible?" And they'll say, "No." I said, "Well, why are you asking me?" So many people, Brother James, it's got a way, they've got a thought, they've got an idea on how things are supposed to go. But the Bible says that God demands perfection. God demands sinless lives. But man has never been able to do it. So what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son to die upon the cross. And the Bible says he loved this world so much that he gave that only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, should believe, ought to believe, must believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through his Son might be saved. But he talks about them who don't believe. They're condemned already. Preacher, why are they condemned? They don't care what's in the pot. They don't care. They don't know there's death in the pot. Can I say this and I'll hush? Coming to a close. When they hollered out, "There's death in the pot," Brother James Powell, who did they go to for help? Went to the man of God. They went to the man of God. The man of God didn't have the ability within himself. He just knew what to do. Can I say this afternoon? Don't look at the preacher. There's a lot of things going on in your life, and I would love to be able to get home, go home with you all, get down there. Justin, I know me and you get down there together. We can work out a lot of problems that's in your life and my life. But what we really need is not this man of God to get in the middle. What you really need is what I've been trying to tell you ever since this morning. There's a man of God who can take care of that pot. Amen. And his name's Jesus Christ. The man of God took a handful of meal and cast it into the pot.
Yep.
That handful of meal being a representation of that blessed bread of life in John chapter 6. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. If any man eat of this bread, he shall never die." I wonder today,
Is there proof in your pot that God's in your life? Is there any proof? Secondly, if you're saved, when was the last time you shut the door on the things of the outside world? When was the last time you closed the door and poured everything out that you had into God? Some of you might be having financial troubles. When's the last time you closed the door? I'm not talking 5 minutes. I'm not talking 10 minutes. I'm talking hours and just pouring it out. Some of you's having marital problems. When was the last time you poured out your whole life out to God and said, God, I need help? Some of you got kid problems. When was the last time you poured out your whole heart unto the Lord and said, Lord, I need you. Shut the door. I'm closing the door. God's just you and me, and we're getting alone. And God, I heard this. If I could hear this a dozen times, this is really why I don't like watching the news anymore. I hear them talking about all the time up in Washington that they need to put them all in the room and lock the door and don't let them out until they come to a conclusion. I got one better. Put them all in a prayer closet and lock them in there and say, you ain't coming out till God gets you right.
Amen.
Well, that goes for the church member too. We need to get in that closet, close that door. Shut it, lock it, and say, God, I'm not leaving until you change me. Is there death in your pot? Are you saved today? Have you been born again? If you said you've gotten changed, saved, was there a change in your life? Did God move in? Did the want-tos change? I heard a preacher going off. Somebody showed me the video. There were a great big old crowd of people. I don't think he's going to invite him back again. He started preaching on a certain sin. He said, you acting like this and acting like that in the house of God, and all them preachers were amen. He turned up to all them preachers. He said, I don't know why you all's amening for. You got them leading your music. You got them teaching your Sunday schools. And they all just mouths got big and dropped. He says, you all don't care as long as you get a pat on the back. You all don't care as long as everything's going smoothly. Nobody likes the rough seas. I don't either. Nobody likes the battles. I don't either. Nobody likes to get down the ditches. I don't either. But I'm telling you, God said this life is rough.
Right.
This life is mean. It's unfair. And you need Jesus in your pocket. Because if you don't have him, you're going to die without him. And in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. You can vote for Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. And God help us if any one of them get in. But you don't need a new president. You need yourself the King of Kings.
Yes!
And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not throwing nothing out on people who's political. I'm not. I'm voting. I know I'm weeding through the people trying to figure who I can vote for. Right now, the top of my list is Jesus. But I know I got to vote for a president. So don't throw off on somebody else because they see something you don't see. But know this, we all have to give an account.
Right.
And it starts with us realizing we need Jesus. Ain't that right?
Amen.
So many people are saying things and don't. Can I say something to y'all, you young people? Y'all listen to me. Some of you young people, look at me. You all don't know nothing. You know how I know you don't know nothing? Because I don't know nothing. I talk to people, Brother Larry, that's around my age, and I find out they're just as ignorant on things as I am. So I got to go to somebody a little older. I'm going to talk to Howard and to Edith and Dool and Ed and Tom and Janine. I'm going to talk to them people, Junior. So I'll pull them aside, Junior. Hey, Lindsay, hey, what about this? What about Eddie? I'll go to Eddie and tell my, what about this? And I'm sitting there scratching my head. And I get all these young people, and I got a bunch of them in my house, and they think they know what's going on. They really don't know what's going on. And if I need the Lord to direct my life, you all need him too to direct
amen.
Your life.
Amen.
And I know right now, if I was to say it, that James would jump up and preach it too. There's some of you all that's putting things in your pot. You think you know what you're doing, and it's death.
Right.
It's going to kill you.
Amen.
There's people in here right now that can take you aside, and maybe sometimes you ought to get with them. Not ask them about the sin that nearly killed them when they was lost, but ask them about how it feels to be delivered from what God saved them from.
Amen.
Amen.